Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, text 34. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Akirtim cha api bhutani Katayashyanti te
abhyayam
sambhavitasya cha akirtihi maranat atirichyate. That's maranat, when the word is separated, it becomes maranat. Akirtin chapi bhutani.
Akirtin chapi bhutani.
Katayashyanti tevyayam.
Katayashyanti tevyayam.
Sambhavitasya chakirtir.
Sambhavitasya
maranadati richyate.
Maranadati richyate.
Akirti chapi bhutani.
Akirti chapi bhutani.
Katayashyanti tevyayam.
Katayashyanti tevyayam.
Sambhavitasya chakirtir.
Sambhavitasya chakirtir.
Maranadati richyate. Akirtin chapi bhutani.
Akirtin chapi bhutani.
Katayashyanti tevyayam.
Katayashyanti tevyayam.
Sambhavitasya chakirtir.
Sambhavitasya chakirtir.
Maranadati richyate.
Maranadati richyate.
Krishna speaking to Arjuna about Arjuna's wanting to not fight. Krishna says, translation of this verse, people will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. Purport, both as a friend and philosopher to Arjuna, Lord Krishna now gives his final judgment regarding Arjuna's refusal to fight. The Lord says, Arjuna, if you leave the battlefield, before the battle even begins, people will call you a coward. And if you think that people may call you bad names, but that you will save your life by fleeing the battlefield, then my advice is that you'd do better to die in the battle. For a respectable man like you, ill fame is worse than death. So you should not flee for fear of your life, better to die in the battle. That will save you from the ill fame of misusing my friendship and from losing your prestige in society. So, the final judgment of the Lord was for Arjuna to die in the battle and not withdraw. Akirtin cha pibhutani katayashyanti devyayam. Sambhavitasya chakirtir maranadati richyate. People will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. Bhagavad Gita is based on death. How to avoid death. How to get free from death. How to If we speak about death, we have to speak about life. Death is the negation of life, as darkness is the negation of light. So everyone wants to live. Bhagavad Gita is spoken in a situation where there is about to be mass slaughter, huge amount of killing, a lot of death. So death is central to Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was no stranger to death. He had personally killed so many people. He wasn't afraid of it. But in this situation, he didn't want to kill. Now, of course, it was quite possible, theoretically, that Arjuna wouldn't, even if he went into the battle, he wouldn't kill anyone. He'd just get killed at the first stroke, because when you're in a battle, you can get killed any time. It's not expected that great warriors like Arjuna will die very soon. You expect them to kill a few people before they get killed, but they can be killed immediately, at any moment. Just while Arjuna is pulling his bowstring, someone could pull their bowstring quicker and kill him. It's possible. Of course, Krishna is protecting Arjuna, but what exactly would happen in the battle, we can look back and say, this happened and that happened and so-and-so fought with so-and-so, but prior to the battle, you just don't know what's going to happen. In fact, you don't know what's going to happen at any moment. Although a battle is more unpredictable than other situations. In the situation we are now, it's quite predictable that we shall all sit here for 30 minutes or more. You all want to go out and book distribution. But in a battle, there's no, you can't say what will happen. Some level of predictability is there, but not much. And that's true in sports, in political activities. Just like Gospodin Putin just sent Russian troops into Ukraine. Of course, you could say it's military, but it's a political tactic also. And what will happen? You don't know. We still don't know. But it was a calculated move. That could have been possible that Mr. Obama would have sent the American troops in, but that would be really stupid. But anyway, stupidity is also not ruled out. It's been a major factor in world history. Such as, anyway, I won't get into that. So Arjuna could have been killed. He was prepared for that. A Kshatriya lives his whole life in the shadow of death. And death is central. Of course, in a fairly peaceful time, Kshatriyas might be just hunting animals. That can also be dangerous if you're hunting lions and tigers and rhinos. It can be dangerous. But Kshatriyas, they like that. They like to fight, which is maybe one reason why we don't. Why is there no peace in the world? Because some people like to fight. Kshatriyas are supposed to restrain themselves until there's any proper situation for fighting. But there are many people who like to fight. Krishna says that. He just said it. And there's just two verses before. Sukhina kshatriya parata labante yudham idrisham. Kshatriyas are happy when they get an opportunity to fight. Of course, the The reason is that, what is it? Hato va prapshasi swargam bhungtve cha jitva cha prapshase mahim. Jitva va prapshase. Either you'll die and go to the heavenly world, or you'll conquer, you'll be victorious, and then you'll enjoy the world. So, nothing to lose either way. So, the Kshatriya lives to die, actually. For the Kshatriya, the glorious death is in battle. Of course, most glorious life is that if you die after many battles, not in your first battle. Maybe when you're getting old and then you're not so sharp. It's quite ironic that an older Kshatriya who's had so many victories can be killed by some young, unknown, up-and-coming whippersnapper. But that may happen. For a Kshatriya to die peacefully on his bed is not considered a very good death. So the Pandavas, they remained unbeaten throughout their life, and then they left home, and they went to embrace death in the Himalayas, not comfortably dying at home. So Kshatriyas live to die, and actually everyone should live with the consciousness that we have to die and live in such a way that we don't die again. Ladva sudurlavamidam bahusambhavante manusham artadham anityam apihadhira turnam yatetan apatedanumritya yavan nisrayasaya vishayakalu sarvatasyat. This human form of life is very rarely attained after many, many births. It's very valuable. It doesn't last long. Considering all this, we should act in such a way in this life that we don't get born again and not act for sense gratification, which is available everywhere in all species of life. So we should live so as to die in the best possible way. This art of living is very popular, but before this art of living was started, there was a chapter in Srila Prabhupada's book, The Science of Self-Realization, called The Art of Dying, which we're still distributing. The art of living is how to learn how to die. Or as the German, very influential philosopher Hegel said, often quoted by Srila Prabhupada's dear godbrother, Sri Bia Sridhar Maharaj, that we should die to live. In other words, we can't actually live unless we give up all these misconceptions that shackle us. We're living dead. We're not awake to our real life. There are many what are called mystics in the Western world and all over the world who perceive reality beyond the illusion of just eating, sleeping, mating and defending. They die to the world. They're considered very strange people, but they live in the real world, as probably the most famous English mystic in history, William Blake. His wife said about him, I don't know my husband. He's always in paradise. I don't know. Paradise, where is that? Recently we saw there's some, where were we? Is paradise place in Hyderabad? Yeah, I was just wondering which place it was in, whether it was here or some other. Where's paradise? Well, go up that road for 2 kilometers, take a right, and then take a left, and you're in paradise. They call it some residential colony, is it? Paradise Hotel. So the area has become known as Paradise because of Paradise Hotel. You have to pay to stay in the hotel. Biryani? Because of biryani. I was going to say that hotels, their main business is all the 4 regulated principles breaking. So that's considered paradise for the sinful people. But they won't go to paradise. They can only go to the hotel called paradise. They're going the opposite direction. It's misleading. So death is a central topic of Bhagavad Gita. As Krishna points out, death is not something desirable. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. Life in this material world terminates in death, begins with the birth of a body and terminates with the death of a body. And in between there's old age and disease, among other. These are very gross manifestations of suffering. And there are many other manifestations of suffering also. So, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. Death is something not nice. Mrityu sarvaharaschaham. Krishna in the form of death takes everything away. Everything that we're attached to is removed. So it's something very horrible. But here in this verse, Krishna says that for a person who has been respected, dishonor is worse than death. Worse than death. What could be worse than death? What's the worst punishment? Capital punishment. Although for some people, capital punishment may seem something welcome. As, again getting back to Western history, Marie Antoinette, who was guillotined in the period following the French Revolution. You never heard her name. It's famous name in Western history. She was consort of the King Louis the something, who was guillotined. That means he was had his head put on a block and then a blade is dropped on it, and it's a quick, swift, efficient way of executing people. So she was, when she was taken to the guillotine, someone said to her, "No, just, you know, keep calm." And you know, she said, "I'm not worried. This for me is most welcome." Because she had been honored. She had been at the highest position of society, and then she was just spurned, tortured, imprisoned, insulted, and for her she said, "This is most welcome. Better this death." But generally, death is considered the worst possible thing. That's why it's considered the topmost punishment. There are many worse things you can do than kill people. The prolonged torture. That's why that saying is there. I don't know. Do you have that in it's Bengali saying? Anayashe maran. Means to die easily. If you're not unhealthy and you've lived a long life and you just die in your sleep or something like that, that's considered very good, rather than having a prolonged illness, lying on the bed, suffering, hardly able to breathe. It's like a torture. So there are certain cultures in the world which have developed the art of torture. I don't think in India we don't have. There are many sciences in India, metallurgy and geometry and cosmology and medicine and fighting science we find in the ancient Vedic Shastra, but there's not in the history of India any culture of torture. Although in some parts of the world it has been. Not just Rome, so many places. Started in Rome, if you see the Western history. According to the Western history, everything started in Greece, then it went to Rome, then it came to England, then it went to America, and that's it. There's nothing beyond that. That's the ultimate level of evolution. But yeah. So, torture, worse than death. But for the Kshatriya, anyway, we need to see a few verses. I just spoke that this, just prior to this. Yadrichaya cho papanam swagadwaram apavritam sukhina kshatriya parata labante yudamidrisham. Yeah. Kshatriyas are happy when there's an opportunity for them to fight. Why? There are various reasons for that. One of them is that it opens the doors to the heavenly world. Then, I just said this. Hato va prapchasi swargam jitva va bhukshase mahim. If you win, then you'll enjoy the earth. If you die, you'll go to heaven. So what's the problem? Either way. But if you don't fight, bhayadranadu paratam mangsham te twang maharataha yeshang chatwang bahumato bhutva yasyasi lagavam. There's so many, you're a great fighter here, there are so many other great fighters, but among the great fighters, more than anyone, they're looking at Arjuna. Arjuna on one side, Bhishma on the other. These are the two great fighters. And of course there are Bhima Arjuna Samayudhi. Duryodhana said there are many fighters who are equivalent to Bhima and Arjuna. And then on the Kauravas side there were great fighters Bhishma, Drona. These two were very powerful. But they were old also. And Ashwatthama was a terrible fighter. Karna was a terrible fighter. Duryodhana himself, and so many others, Dushasana and Shalya, and so many great heroes were there. But they all respected Arjuna. Even Karna, who hated Arjuna, respected him. You can respect someone and also hate them. That's also part. Hating someone is some kind of respect in itself, because if someone's insignificant, then you don't hate them. You just don't bother about them. You might just step on them and crush them like an insect under the foot. But you don't hate them. So hatred is one sign of respect. So they all respected him. They knew that if we can take out Arjuna, then most of our work is done. But, Krishna said, if you leave the battlefield, as you propose, then they're not going to think, oh, Arjuna, he's so noble, he doesn't want to fight. They'll think, what a coward. Ha! All that lifetime of performing heroic activities, and now all of a sudden, he's become a coward. Must be that Krishna's influence on him. They'll blame Krishna. So they'll blame Arjuna and Krishna. And they'll laugh. They'll laugh. Ah, ah. We thought he was so great. And now he's become so useless. So humiliation. That's for a Kshatriya, that's worse than death. Among Kshatriyas, if they defeat someone, they respect. They may offer respect to them after killing them. We see that Bhima, after killing Vikarna, he circumambulated his body and then went right back to, because he respected Vikarna as being in that Asat Sabha, the assembly at the gambling match of Shakuni. Vikarna was the only one who spoke up and said that this is not right. So Bhima respected him for that. He didn't do that to Dushasana. he ripped open, after killing Dushasana, he ripped open his chest and ripped out the heart, drunk the blood. But he treated Vikarna differently because he respected him for his character, not that he was such a great fighter. There are many instances of that. And coming to mundane history, during the Second World War, there was a pilot, a fighter pilot from New Zealand, and he was going over the waters and he saw a German submarine. So he came down to attack it, and the German submarine, they had their machine guns, and but he came in and destroyed their submarine. But doing so, he almost certainly he knew he would be shot down also, which he was. So as the submarine was sinking, the crew, they jumped ship, got into their lifeboats or whatever, and they were rescued by the other planes, because there was some among, at least among the British and the Germans in the Second World War, there was some kind of mutual respect, maybe not among the Germans and the Russians. So even though they cultivated a hatred of each other, but there was some mutual respect. So the captain of the submarine, when he was captured by the British or New Zealand Air Force forces, after he was captured, he said that pilot should be posthumously honored for his bravery, because he knew he was going to die, but he thought that the military objective of sinking this submarine it's worth more than my life, which from a military standpoint was correct. So even though the German captain of the submarine, he had failed in his task but he recognized the bravery of his opponent. So everyone respected Arjuna, but that would all be lost in this one rash act of leaving the battlefield. So there are things to fear more than death. Bali Maharaj, when he was told by his guru, Shukra, that you don't fulfill your word, you go against your word, that you've given your word to this Vamana, that you will give him 3 steps of land by his own measurement. You have to go. You're in a great difficult situation. You have to somehow or other get out of this. Don't give him 3 steps of land. You'll be finished. So Bali Maharaj, in response, he replied, I do not fear hell, poverty, an ocean of distress, fall from my position, or even death itself, as much as I fear cheating a brahmana. That was considered worse. That's the worst thing you can do. Death itself may not be so bad, but if you cheat a brahmana, then not only you yourself become very sinful, but the whole atmosphere of the universe becomes polluted by such an activity. It's extremely sinful. There is pap, there is pataka, mahapataka, there's different levels of sin. So cheating a brahmana, killing a brahmana. Everyone feared, not only kshatriyas, Bali Maharaj was a kshatriya, but everyone had this fear that if you mistreat a brahmana, then it's extremely sinful, it's extremely inauspicious, it's extremely against your own self-interest. Although Shukracharya, he didn't seem to mind. He didn't seem to worry, but he gave good reasoning that in a case of great distress you can do so, but Bali didn't accept this. Actually, Shukra's reasoning might have been acceptable in a different circumstance. If that was If that was a demon coming to trick a godly person out of the universe, then that advice would have been acceptable. So it's very subtle, the ways of dharma. Everyone had this fear of adharma. That's Arjuna's point. He thinks that to fight will be adharma, but he's very afraid of going against the principles of dharma. But Krishna is persuading him that your real dharma is to fight here. You miscalculated. There are, obviously, Arjuna's dharma as a kshatriya was to fight. But there may be cases in which one's basic dharma is to be, in which dharma is upheld by going against what are the general prescriptions of dharma. That may happen. And in fact, Mahabharata is full of such incidents. But Krishna told Arjuna, this is not one of such cases. You should just fight, that's all. For a brahmana is so much respected for his character, his purity, his truthfulness, his austerity. Truthfulness is very much is central to the life of a brahmana. For a kshatriya, it's not expected that he'll always be truthful, because in political matters, sometimes it's required to lie, and for Vaishyas also, in doing business, it's expected that they will lie. And Shudras anyway, you know, no good character is expected of them. But Brahman is supposed to be truthful. It's difficult to be always truthful, isn't it? Maybe difficult. If one is a real Brahman, it shouldn't be difficult, because he's got nothing to hide. He's got no agenda to exploit others. So there should be no reason to lie. Lie means that you want to cover up something bad that you've done, but a brahmana shouldn't have anything bad that he's done. Or to mislead someone so that you can exploit the situation, but a brahmana has no such objective to do so. So he can always be truthful, which is another reason why I'm somewhat skeptical about giving brahminical initiation to anyone in ISKCON, whether or not they're living a brahminical lifestyle, because Brahmin's supposed to be truthful. But if you're in the workplace, you can't be truthful all the time. If you're doing a job or business or something like this, you have to lie. It's just part of life. And everyone will say, well, I don't lie, but that's also a lie. Maybe they think I don't lie. And then you say, well, can you think in your life you did something? Well, yes. And no one likes to think that they lie, but a brahmana should actually be so truthful. I spoke 2 days ago about diplomacy. Ramananda Rai, I was quoting from the Chaitanya Charita, I'm reading that, how vyavahare nipun. Rajamantri Ramananda Vyavahare Nipun. He was previously a king's minister, and he was expert in diplomacy. So diplomacy, there may be something like that in the life of a brahmana, but not for exploitation, but as in the case of Ramananda speaking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to gradually make a situation better, to not speak the whole truth immediately, to gradually introduce it, to withhold the truth. Just like when Vidur came and met the Pandavas, he didn't reveal to them that the Yadu dynasty had destroyed itself by self-destruction. So he didn't tell the truth. But he didn't tell an untruth either. He just didn't reveal it. It was something which you would expect that he would tell them, but he didn't tell them because he didn't want to distress them. So that's a case of some diplomacy. He didn't tell the truth, but he didn't tell an untruth either. Or it's quite acceptable within Brahminical behavior also to state the truth, but understate it. For instance, if there are two parties who are inimical to each other, and madhyastha, that word is there in Gita, that arbitrator, I guess you could call that, he's trying to bring them together, then one party may say something about someone else, and the Brahmana has to tell that to the other party, what the other people think of him. But he may present it in a less extreme way. For instance, if party A says about party B that I don't trust him at all, he's a liar, he's a cheater, then he may go to the arbitrator may go to person B and say that, well, person A has some, he has certain misgivings about you, which is a very mild way of putting that he hates you. So he has no good opinion of you whatsoever. So it's not exactly cheating, but for a brahmana, he should be so truthful. He should be so committed to dharma. He should rather die for dharma. He should not. Another thing is, a brahmana shouldn't be afraid of death. A saintly person, he shouldn't be afraid to die. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example of Socrates. He was not afraid to die because he knew that the body doesn't die. Krishna told that to Arjuna also. Shochanan vasocha swang pragyavadangs chabhasha se gatasu nagatasuns chananu shochanti panditaha. Those who are actually learned, they do not lament. He said, you're speaking as if you're learned, but one who is actually learned doesn't lament for that which comes and must go. Gatasu nagatasuns cha. It came, the body came into existence, and it will go out of existence. Therefore, a learned person doesn't lament for that, even for one's own body, knowing that, anyway, it has to die. So a brahmana should not be afraid of death. Like a kshatriya, he should be prepared to die for the sake of a dharma. Rather than commit an activity outside of dharma, he should be prepared to die. There's the example of at Sri Rangam, when there was it was being attacked by I'm not sure when that was. That was anyway some Muslim army was attacking, and so the story goes. They wanted to take the deity. The main deity had been covered, the wall had been put, so no one could understand the deity was there. But to take the Vijay Vigraha and take the deity away, then they all lined up on the path approaching with their arms folded, and one by one their heads were chopped off. But it took the army some time, there were so many of them, one by one they just died on the road. They could have resisted, presumably, but that's not their dharma to fight. They could have maybe cursed them, but they didn't. So, worse than death for a brahmana is to be dishonored also. But for him, dishonor is different. To be known as cunning, cheating, not properly following Brahminical principles, to be sinful. There are lists of sins. To engage in illicit sex, to drink wine, for a brahmana to drink liquor, is considered most abominable. Here, of course, when I'm talking about brahmanas, I'm not talking about people who happen to have something like Sharma or Mishra in their name in the year 2014. We're talking about real Vedic brahmanas. So they would rather die than do that. Srila Prabhupada also said that. He said that in certain circumstances one may be compelled to eat meat, but he said, as far as I'm concerned, I'd rather die than do so. So he didn't. So shameful for a brahmana to any of these things, eating meat. Some brahmanas, we all even find that in Bhagavatam, they may eat meat, not in this Kali Yuga, but in the previously, some of them may have done, but that would be not from the slaughterhouse, but that would be Yajna Shishta, that which is offered in sacrifice. But especially cow's meat, or for a Vaishya or a Shudra, this point, sambhavitasya chakyate maranadati richyate, that for a person who's been honored, dishonored is worse than death. It doesn't apply to them because they don't have so much self-respect. They're not. For a Vaishya to be bereft of his money is worse than death, but they can always get it back again. Where there's life, there's hope. Srila Prabhupada told that story that one Vaishya in Calcutta, he was poverty-stricken, lost all his money, and he asked for a loan, some capital, from another Vaishya so he could start his business. And that time there was a plague going in Calcutta, going on, and the administration had said that anyone who brings in a dead rat gets so much money. They give them a small amount of money because they understood the plague was spread by rats. So the Vaishya who was asked for a loan, you know they don't like to give loans unless there's a good chance of getting it back or any property attached. So he pointed out in the street to a dead rat and said, "That's your capital." So the poverty-stricken Vaishya took the rat, got the little amount of money, bought something, some peanuts or something, sold it, and this is how he started. And then before his death, he was one of the richest Vaishyas in Calcutta. So where there's life, there's hope. And for a Shudra, what does he care? Dishonor. He's never honored anyway, so what does he care about dishonor? For a Vaishnava, I spoke about Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. Shudras are often, they were part of the army also. It's not that everyone was a Kshatriya. Kshatriyas were the leaders of the armies and the great fighters, but many of the foot soldiers were Shudras also. They're the ones who would turn their back and run away. Kshatriya shouldn't do that. For a Kshatriya to turn his back and run away is abominable. Abominable. But for a Shudra fighter, he's just a paid man, so he's hoping if he wins, then he'll be well rewarded. But if he doesn't want to lose his life, so they're not honored so much. There's one more class, women. For them, losing their husband is considered worse than death. And that's why there was the sati rite that was much maligned by the British. But I recently read some accounts written by British and others who had seen the sati rite going on. And in all cases, they reported that the women, they weren't forced. It wasn't that every widow did it. They wasn't forced to do it. But the ones who did it because they wanted to do it. And mostly it would be women from Brahmin families, who, others also, and they happily went. Even others would try to dissuade them, but they would insist, "No, I can't stay now." And they themselves would lie on the funeral pyre, embrace the body of their husband, and light the fire themselves. So that was one system of doing it. There are other ways also. But the European travelers described it. They would sit there quite peacefully. So that is a standard we can't expect today, and we shouldn't force that. There's no question of forcing that. But that culture is there, that for the woman, the loss of their husband is worse than death. Then for the Vaishnava, what's the worst thing? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he spoke with Ramananda Rai, asked him, what is the most, the greatest suffering in the world? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, Dukha madde konduk hoi gurutar. And Ramananda Rai answered, Krishna bhakta viraha bina dukha nahi dekhipur. I don't see any suffering in the world other than separation from the devotees of Krishna. So we can understand whether we're a devotee or not. If we feel suffering from toothache, from long classes while your stomach's rumbling and you're waiting for prasadam, etc., then we can understand that we didn't quite make it there yet. We've got a long way to go. Also, we hear in the Nectar of Devotion, it's said that if one hears blasphemy of Krishna, then one should end one's life. That's one of the three things one should do. One should either cut out the tongue of the offender, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that's what a kshatriya should do. Or one should end one's life, which is what a vaishya or a shudra should do. One should end one's life, or one should simply leave the place, which is what a brahmana should do, because he shouldn't kill the body of a brahmana, namely his own body. So the point there is that to hear blasphemy of Krishna, that's most horrible. And we see, actually, the whole world that we're living in today is so horrible. There's so many horrible things going on all around us. Most people in the world aren't very concerned about cow slaughter, but it's a horrible thing, animal slaughter in general. People are very concerned about human trafficking, capturing and selling women and children to be exploited by others. These are horrible things going on. So many horrible. If we start to talk, then your stomachs will be really rumbling for a long time. But it's a horrible situation. How can we live in this world? It's so bad. It's worse than death to live in such a situation. But we are told to stay in this situation and try to do something to rectify it, to try to help these people who are without knowledge of Krishna, to give them knowledge of what they should do. Otherwise, the way people are living, their life is worse than death. The way they're living is worse than death. There's that story of the sadhu. He approached different people and gave them different blessings. He saw the prince and he told him, "You live forever. Charanjeeva," or live for a long time, because you're living a life of sensual indulgence now, but after death you'll have to suffer, so better you don't die, you go on living. And he saw the brahmachari and he told him, "You die now." Because his life is full of suffering, with austerities. This is not for you, brahmacharis. But you have to stay and distribute books. your life is full of suffering, but after you leave this world, then you'll attain happiness in the next life. So better you die now. Then he met the butcher. Then he met the sadhu. And he said, you can either live or die. It doesn't make any difference. Because the sadhu is in bliss in this life, always thinking of Krishna. And after that, it's the same thing for him. He's in bliss everywhere. So, and then he met the butcher and said, don't live and don't die. Because your life is so horrible. And after you die, you'll have to suffer so much. So better you just don't exist. Become a Buddhist. Just become void. That's good advice for a butcher, maybe. Yes. Become a Buddhist. Is it good advice for anyone to become a Buddhist? I don't think so. So don't live and don't die. So the way people are living nowadays, for them that's the same advice. Don't live and don't die. Your life is so miserable. And after you die, your life is so sinful and wretched. And then after you die, you'll have to suffer so much. Of course, our advice is chant Hare Krishna and change your life. So to propagate that, our devotees have to live in this world. And I guess I should finish this class so you can all go out and distribute books. Hare Krishna. Only 4 books yesterday. Why is that? It's a tough area, is it? Sometimes it's like that. Okay, well, they're always the trains. But you want to get local people so you can invite them to the program. Yeah. Maybe during the rainy season, the trains would be a good alternative. You're how far? About 20 minutes from the train station? Yeah. Or even just on the platform if you go at the right time. And don't get too much harassed by the platform officials. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any question, comment? Anything? Yeah. What is the difference between bhakti and superstition? What is the difference between a building and a chimpanzee? There's so much difference that they're not comparable. Superstition means to believe in something in which there's no basis. Bhakti means to know what is reality and act accordingly. Okay, we'll finish there. Hare Krishna.